Romans 10:14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anybody preach unless they have been sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. The next Bible reading is Acts 1:8. But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
I wonder if you feel kind of an affinity with this bloke on Facebook who said, I've been going to church for 30 years and I've heard about 1,500 sermons and I can't remember one of them. Very few sermons I can remember. I remember one of Barry's on Women in Ministry. It's the only one I actually remember of Barry's specifically. And I only remember one sermon of my own called No Little People that was stolen by Francis Schaeffer. And so this guy was online complaining about he'd been going to church for the years and years and years. And what was the benefit if he couldn't even remember even one of the messages? And this debate went online for a while. Then eventually an old man got on there, somebody about my age, and said, I've been married 30 years, and my wife has cooked me about 11,000 meals, and I can't remember one of them. But if I hadn't taken the food in, I wouldn't have been strong, and I couldn't have carried on living. And that idea that sometimes when we go to church, it isn't always the things that we remember, it's who we are becoming that is actually the pivotal thing. And that's the nature of food, is that it comes into our body and it disappears into our body and it strengthens us for the work that we're meant to be doing. I keep on going back to that passage in Genesis 12 where it says to Israel, what's the purpose of Israel? Actually talking to Abraham before Israel even came about. But we are called, we are blessed to be a blessing. And so the role of us, the church, is are we a blessing to the world in which we live? And Catherine is going to help us with some of that aspect. But sometimes we forget the purpose of what we're here for. I love this cartoon. Have a look at that one. Takes a while to get it, doesn't it? The whole purpose of a lighthouse is to be seen by boats, but it was attracting them, so let's get rid of it. And sometimes we forget we are called to be the light of the world. And that we can become so focused on ourselves and what we are doing that we forget that we're actually meant to shine in the world in which we live. That actually we have been given a great blessing that is meant to be a blessing to the world. The world should be better off because we are here and we are amongst the world. If the world isn't better off because of us, we might as well pack up, turn the light off, and go home. But is the world a better place because we are in it? One of the interesting things, I work within the community services, so 2 days a week I'm training community workers, social workers, all sorts of different workers. And one of the things you notice when you work in the community services is that a higher percentage of community workers are Christian than the general population. It doesn't mean that they are all Christian, and it doesn't mean only Christians can do good things. There are a great many people doing awesome things. But when you look around, you find at the heart of many community services, Christians who understand they have been blessed by God to be a blessing in the world in which we live. We've been looking at this passage in Romans 10, the Lordship of Christ, and what are the implications of what it means to say, Jesus, you are Lord. And one of the things we've said is that people who believe Jesus is Lord ought not to feel any shame, because in Christ, all our shame has been taken away. And then we looked at the idea that in Christ, we have confident hope. Not that everything's going to go right. Remember, we looked at Hebrews, and half of Hebrews says, in Hebrews 11, talks about these wonderful things that happen. People were saved and saved from lions and all that. And then the second part of the chapter says, well, some didn't get their answers until they went to heaven. That not all hope is gained in this world, but we have confidence in the God who is at work, that he is doing a work in us and through us. And the third implication of the Lordship of Christ is, do we believe we've got a message that's worth proclaiming to others? And one of the things I would say is that when you look at your behaviour, it indicates what you truly believe. Somebody's once said that if you showed me your bank account and your calendar, I could tell you what's important to you. The way that you spend your time and the way that you spend your money says something significant about what's important to you. Now, I don't want you to feel guilty. This is about being challenged about what it means to proclaim the good news of Jesus to the world. And it's not because we feel guilty, it's because we've got hope and something to share with the world. In the newsletter this week, I put in a Bible reading plan called the Thematic Bible Reading Plan. And I've been reading this, and on Thursday, as I was reading it, one of the things I like about the Bible reading plan is it has some Old Testament and some New Testament all at the same time. And it's incredible how often one theme comes through. And I was sitting there on Thursday, and in Exodus, it talks about Pharaoh and Moses. And Moses was called of God to go and talk to Pharaoh. And I think these words in Exodus 4 are really important. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord, please send someone else. Who of us haven't wanted somebody else? Shimmer was a bit nervous, I think, before church today, singing up here, being the main singer. They weren't going to send me. You don't want me to come up here and lead the worship. Shimmer might have said, please, Lord, send somebody else, but God has blessed her with that particular gifting. And even when you're nervous, sometimes you've simply got to go. What I find interesting is the next part of the verse. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. God was actually angry at Moses because Moses was not prepared to be the voice that God had called him out to be. And then the rest of the story carries on with his brother Aaron being the main speaking role. But that wasn't the way it was intended. It was intended that Moses would proclaim. And then I flicked over into Matthew 25, and there's that story of the 10 virgins, you know, the 10 virgins with the oil lamps. And the bridegroom comes later on, and their oil lamps are burnt down. Five of them have got extra oil, and five don't. And the five that don't say, can you give us your oil so that we can keep our lamp going? And they say, no, go off and buy your own. We're the ones who've been prepared early. And the Bible is saying we ought to be prepared. We need to be the voice that goes, and we need to prepare ourselves being ready to go. Then in the very next story, it talks about the man who is given one bag of gold and two bags of gold and then five bags of gold. And the story carries on to say, you know, the one that had five went off and got five more. The one who had a greater gift used it to get five more. The one that had two went and got two, but the one who didn't have much went and buried it in the ground. And God's voice in anger says, you woeful servant, I gave you something, it didn't matter how little it was, but you didn't use it, you hid it away. And I think the Bible is very, very clear that if we truly believe Jesus is Lord, If we truly believe we've got confident hope, if we truly believe we don't need to live in shame, isn't that a message that the world needs to hear? And the only way they're going to hear it is through you and I. And some of us have greater skills. I've got an incredible heart for evangelism. I've got very little skill in evangelism. It's just not something I'm not particularly good at. I always find other people who are good at it and I partner with them because they're better at it. But I take my little gift and I use it as much as I can because I believe, honestly believe, that if God hadn't come into my life, I would be in jail somewhere. Absolutely, honestly believe that. Because God changed my heart. And I know the terribleness of my own heart. And I know if it hasn't been constrained by the love of God, I wouldn't have what I have. I wouldn't have a lovely wife, married 34 years now, I think it is. You know, all these grandchildren, I wouldn't have this family. I wouldn't have a lovely little church to work with. Because God's grace is so much. And I can't help but being a person who shares that with others in my little mediocre way. I wonder if anybody's been on the ferry between the North and South Island of New Zealand, Cook Strait. Anybody been on that? The water flows through there horrifically. I remember being on that ferry one time, and the storm was so bad that the kids could run from one end of the boat to the other before it went down the wave. It was a big boat. So it would go on the wave and you'd run all the way down because you didn't realise, and then eventually the wave would come and you'd go back the other way. It was a storm that a ship actually got sunk in that storm. It was a frightening storm. But one of the good things about boats these days is they have life rafts. And you might not want to particularly be in that life raft, but you'd rather be in the life raft than in the water beside the life raft, wouldn't you? It's not always fun in the ocean, but you'd rather be in the boat. And essentially what we are doing is that we're calling people to hop in the boat. We've got a life raft, which is the church and the body of God, and we are simply inviting others into the life raft because we've got something that we believe other people would benefit. Let me just say three things that if you really want to invite people into that life raft, three things we need to be doing. One, regularity, turning up into people's lives. Every morning I go for my walk and I'm starting to run into the same people all the time. I'm starting to have conversations. I said last week, one of my goals is that I look at people and smile. It's a bit frightening, but I try to smile and I try to get them to say hello. Just building up connections. And I know if I'm not out there every morning, you can't build relationship. When I go down to Rube's on Thursday or Sunday, I've got to be there regularly enough that you build relationship. And many of us in this congregation are regularly involved in the lives of people. And that's a critical part of what it means to be a blessed and a blessing. You don't actually have to go find somebody else. Keep on turning up with the people that you're with, that you're connecting. Realise the value of being the light, value of being the salt in that environment. The second thing that I think a lot of people forget is to pray for those people that you're regularly turning up for. I often ask people, are you praying for the people that you're regularly in contact with? Your family, your friends, your neighbours, your coffee shop guy, your mail delivery guy. I've told you the story about getting to know my mail delivery guy. He's on my prayer list. I pray for him. Because I'm terrible at names, I've got a little post-it note in front, in the inside of the door, that every time I go get my mail, you know, he knocks on the door and, you know, he's there, I say, Adrian, that's his name. G'day, Adrian, how are you? So it feels like I remember his name, but a little post-it note just to remember. But I pray for him regularly. Are you actually seriously praying regularly for the people that you are connected with? Because frankly, people coming to know God is more about God than it is about us. And so we've got to ask for God's Holy Spirit and God's power to be working. I've told you, everybody here in this church, I'm not always a great visitor. I'm not the best visitor in the world. But I do pray for every one of you. Everybody's name here gets prayed on a regular basis. And there are lists of people that I pray for because I know I will forget if they're not on a list. And so I bring you before the Lord. Are we bringing the people that we're connecting with before the Lord? And then the third thing we need to be doing is simply invite people. Have a coffee, have a meal. Have a coffee, have a meal. It's actually not that hard to do. Invite people. You know, at the moment, I was down at Rube's the other week and we were talking about noodles. I don't know how we got into noodles, but we were talking about noodles. And a guy called Guy, he says, oh, there's a really nice noodle place and you can go, or you used to be able to go and learn how to do noodles. And Linda and I have been talking for a while about learning how to cook some new things. I said, I'd be really interested in that. And they said, well, they don't do it there. They have to come to your house nowadays, but our house isn't big enough. And I said, well, our kitchen is. And so in March, there's about six or seven or eight of us getting together and learning to cook noodles. We've just invited them into our house. We invite them to have a beer, invite them to have a cup of tea or a coffee, and then invite them to go something deeper. See, there's different levels of relationship. There's something you know, and the challenge here is pray for them and think about how could I invite them to go deeper? How could I give them the opportunity that if they reject it, that's perfectly fine. But you're opening the door for the opportunity to share about the blessing that God has been. You know, I think we underrate the value of hospitality. Hospitality is the thing that changes people's lives. And you've got to do two things with hospitality. One, you've got to accept it, and one, you've got to offer it. Some people will only ever offer it and never accept it. You need both of those. You need to be willing to accept when people make an offer. They might say, do you want to come out for a cup of coffee? And you go, far out, I'm really busy at the moment. I don't have time. Now, if they offer you, you say yes, and you get rid of everything else. Because you just say yes to opportunities to connect with people. Because we believe that God has given us something worth sharing with others. Now, I'm going to finish with this. Hospitality can be really costly in time and in money. And I'm going to say to you, if you don't have enough money to be hospitable and you're giving money to the church, stop giving money to the church and spend more money being hospitable. It's far more important to give hospitality and share in hospitality than it is to give to the church. I think you should do both. Most of us can. But if you only do one, spending time with people and inviting people and taking people for a meal. Maybe you can't invite them to your house, so save up some money and go off to a restaurant or a coffee shop or whatever it is. But hospitality is at the heart of what it means to share the gospel in the world in which we're in. We're calling people to join into the lifeboat. We recognise that, as you were praying earlier on, we live in this world that just seems to be rocked all the time. And we hop into the lifeboat and the lifeboat seems like it's going all over the place. But we'd rather be in it together than in the water around it. And so we invite people in and we regularly pray for them. And then amongst our rocky boat, we have our cups of tea and our coffee and our hamburgers and our whatever. So let's be the people who are blessed to be a blessing. Let me pray for us as we sing our last song. Lord, you are a God who has blessed us beyond belief in this incredible universe in which we live, in this incredible country in which we live, with the friends and the family that are around us. Lord, thank you for all that you have blessed us with. We pray that we would be people who would bless others with that, and that we would acknowledge the one who has given all things to us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.